welcome to your message of the month for January 2018. The theme for our year is to find the meaning of our life. Most people are not interested in meaning, only in survival. How people survive is very, very important to them. Meaning has no relevance to their wants, their needs, their pleasures over pain. Hence, they do not look deeply into their life. Why should they? If things are working out the way they want them to or they think they are, then there's no need to be looking for meaning. What is the word meaning? What does it offer to us? According to the dictionary, it is implied or explicit significance. Something important, a worthwhile quality. That could be anything. Most of us just apply a meaning to our life based on what is emotionally important to us, what we are attentive to, emotionally speaking. So we are looking at a meaning that has been artificially put into our life. I talk to my students in session. And I ask various students who are involved in various degrees of their life, did you not, when you were young, wonder about why you were here and what the meaning of your life was? Not one of them says yes. It is assumed. Meaning is assumed. Meaning is assumed that you will find it when you get something you want or something that we are pleasured by or that we avoided something terrible in our life. That is assumed. Did you not, when you were a little person, maybe between the ages of 1 and 7, ever wonder why you were here in this body, on this earth, with the parents you had, with the people that were around you, in the circumstances you were in? Did you not wonder why you were here? What was going on? Were you just kerplunked here by accident? Did some God put you here out of some distorted point of view, some insidious point of view, some sarcasm that you are here? Do you not see there is meaning in everything? If you read the commentaries, I am pushing you towards meaning. I'm trying to get you towards the light of your heart and to see the meaning of your living. This is very important. Let me read you a story. Sometimes stories are the best way to understand the subject that I'm working on. One day it occurred to a certain emperor that if he only knew the answers to 3 questions about life, he would never stray in any manner, and his life would finally have some meaning. The 3 questions he came up with were, what is the best time to do each thing? Who are the most important people to work with? And finally, what is the most important thing to do at all times? Not bad questions at all. The emperor issued a decree throughout his kingdom announcing that whoever could answer the questions would receive a great reward. Many people who read the decree made their way to the palace at once, each person with a different answer. In reply to the first question, one person advised that the emperor make up a thorough time schedule, concentrating every hour, every day, every month, every year on certain tasks. Another person reported that it would be impossible to plan in advance, and the emperor would be put into some very trying situations because he would have lost his spontaneity. Everybody had a different answer. Everybody. Everybody had a different way of looking at it. The emperor was not happy with any of these answers that he was getting. And after several nights of reflection, the emperor resolved to visit a hermit who lived up on the mountain and was said to be an enlightened man. The emperor visited. He wanted to see this hermit and ask him the three questions. He knew that the hermit never left the mountains. He was known to receive only poor people, refusing to have anything to do with persons of wealth or power or possession. So the emperor disguised himself as a simple peasant and ordered his attendants to wait for him at the foot of the mountain while he climbed the slope alone to seek the hermit. Reaching the holy man's dwelling place, the emperor found the hermit digging a garden in front of his hut. When the emperor saw the stranger, this hermit, he was moved. When the hermit saw the stranger, he nodded his head in greeting, and he too was moved and continued to dig. The emperor obviously could see that the labor was very hard on the old hermit. He was very, very old. And each time he would thrust the spade into the ground to turn the earth, he heaved heavily. The emperor approached him and said, "I have come here to ask your help with three questions. When is the best time to do each thing? Who are the most important people to work with? And what is the most important thing to do at all times?" The hermit listened attentively, but only patted the emperor on the shoulder and continued digging. The emperor said, "You must be tired. Here, let me give you a hand with that." The hermit thanked him and handed the emperor the spade and sat down on the ground to rest. After he had dug two rows, the emperor stopped and turned to the hermit and repeated his question. The hermit still did not answer, but still stood up and pointed to a spade and said, "Why don't you rest now? I can take over." But the emperor continued to dig. 1 hour passed, then two. Finally, the sun began to set behind the mountain. The emperor put down the spade and said to the hermit, "I came here to ask if you could answer my three questions. But you can't give me any answer, so please let me know if I must be on my way home." The hermit lifted his head and asked the emperor, Do you hear someone running over there?" The emperor turned his head. They both saw a man with a long white beard emerging from the woods. He ran wildly, pressing his hands against a bloody wound in his stomach. The man ran towards the emperor before falling unconscious to the ground where he lay groaning. Opening the man's clothing, the emperor and the hermit saw that the man had received a deep gash. The emperor cleaned the wound thoroughly, and then he used his own shirt to bandage it. But the blood completely soaked within minutes. He raised his head and thought to himself, "What can I do to save this man?" The hermit ran and got some more bandages from his hut that were his shirts. They got the blood to stop. At last the man regained consciousness after a drink of water. The emperor ran down to the stream and brought back a jug of fresh water. Meanwhile, the sun had disappeared and the night air began to turn cold. The hermit gave the emperor a hand in carrying the man into the hut, where they laid him down on the hermit's bed. The man closed his eyes and lay quietly. The emperor was torn about the state of the hermit and this man who had come out of nowhere, and he was wondering, but he was tired and worn out from a long day. So leaning against the doorway, he fell asleep. When he rose, the sun had already risen from the mountains, and the moment he was there and saw that, a great love started to fill his heart. He looked over to the bed and saw the wounded man, who was also looking around in confusion too. He saw the emperor and he stared at him intently and then said in a faint whisper, "Please forgive me." "You do not know me, your majesty, but I know you. I was your sworn enemy, and I vowed to take vengeance on you. During the last war, you killed my brother and seized my property. And when I learned that you were coming alone to the mountain to meet the hermit, I resolved to surprise you on your way back and kill you. But after waiting a long time, there was still no sign of you, so I left my ambush in order to seek you out. But instead of finding you, I came across your attendants, who recognized me, giving me this wound. Luckily, I escaped and ran here. If I hadn't met you, I would surely be dead by now. I had intended to kill you, but instead, you saved my life." "If I live, I vow to be your servant for the rest of my life. And I will bid my children and grandchildren to do the same. Please grant me your forgiveness." The emperor was overjoyed to see so easily reconciled with a former enemy. He not only forgave the man, but promised to return the man's property and to send his own physicians and servants to wait on the man until he was completely healed. After ordering his attendants to take the man home, the emperor returned to see the hermit. Before returning to the place where the emperor resided in his palace, he wanted to repeat the three questions one last time. And he found the hermit sowing seeds in the earth that they had dug the day before. The hermit stood up and looked at the emperor and said, "But your questions have already been answered." "How is that?" the emperor said. "Well, yesterday, if you had not taken pity on my age and given me a hand digging these beds, you would never have been attacked by that man on your way home. Then you would have deeply regretted not staying with me. Therefore, the most important time was the time when you were digging in the beds. The most important person was myself, and the most important pursuit was to help me at that time. Otherwise, you would have been attacked." Later, when the wounded man ran up here, the most important time was the time spent dressing his wound. For if it had not been for you and you had not cared for him, he would have died. And you would have lost the chance to be reconciled with him. Likewise, he was the most important person. And the most important pursuit was taking care of his wound. Remember that there is only one important time, and that is in the present. The present moment is the only time over which we have dominion. The most important person is always the person with whom you are, who is right before you, who knows if you have been dealing with other persons in the future. The most important person is now here with me. And the most important pursuit is making that person, whoever is before you, to make that person know the love of your heart. That alone is the most important pursuit of life. This story is by Leo Tolstoy. It's a very interesting one. What is the meaning of any given moment we have? Our life is not about moments and days and years and months, all of that. It isn't. It's about living beyond the concept of days and months and years and things and objects and circumstances. To find the meaning of your life, the meaning of your moment, the meaning of your livingness is to find the meaning of your heart in any given situation. To find the meaning of the heart is everything. It is something that most people miss because they are so busy trying to find what they want. And when a person is busy finding what they want, they miss how beautiful this life is. This year, we're going to be working on finding significance, meaning. You are here for very specific purposes and reasons. You are here to find the laws that govern this lifetime. You and I are here to live in those laws. They're very simple. We are here to understand the way of the heart, to enact these laws that live within us. We are here to find significance through simple things. Remember, simplicity, solitude, silence. These are the things that are most important in a person's life. But to enact these things and to do them with any sense of compassion and love, there must be an enormous amount of generosity in you. If you have not cultivated generosity, then all the things that I speak of and all the things that are meaningful will be missed. They will be relegated to the idea of theory, of philosophy, of concepts that just don't mesh with the fear that lives within. If you live from and by your body, you will miss. It is an instrument to bring to you all sorts of adventures, beautiful adventures. Life has meaning without the substance of my brain creating a story as to what that meaning truly is. If you are a wise person, you will understand that statement, and you will not get caught up in the minutiae of trying to find some meaning that is pleasuring to the ego, the pride, the vanity of us. The king did a wise thing. He restored the man's life. He restored his life by helping him with his body. Then he went even further and restored his possessions. This is a rare king indeed. This is the sign of generosity, of seeing the error of one's way. We are not here to dominate our living, to guide it, to control it. We are here to surrender to it. There are certain laws in this world that, if applied through love, will change everything. We will talk about these laws in workshop and retreats. I will give you some of them as we go along here in discourses. They are very important. You are very important. Please forgive me. Namaste. I have workshops this month coming up here in Carmel. We'll have our first one the first Saturday of the month, and then down in San Diego, I'll be in Encinitas. And I'm going to return to you, if you haven't gotten it already, those beautiful cards you wrote about what you were going to do with the year of 2017. I've kept them in my meditation bay, as I call it, and they have been blessed and poured over all year long. You should get them in the mail very soon if you haven't already. And then I'll have new ones for you, and we'll do our White Rock ceremony at both of our workshops, getting ready for the March retreat. We're going to be doing some very interesting meditations. Tummo. Wow. We're going on a wild ride. Hang in there. It's worth it. I want to thank you for listening, for being a sponsor, for helping me serve humankind, for without you, I could not do it at all. You're with me when I'm at hospice. You're with me when I'm doing discourses. You're with me in every effort I make to help people with the meaning of their life, too. Please forgive me. Namaste.